You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. We go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now and welcome in our guy Dane Brugler, draft expert for CBSSports.com and NFLDraftScout.com. What's up, Dane?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are we doing today?
Dane, how are you doing? Congratulations to you and your family on the birth of your baby girl.
I appreciate that. Sleep has really become a foreign concept for me, but it's something that, hey, you know what? I could always use another scouting assistant. So and I have a feeling that having a daughter is going to be a little bit of a game changer.
Does it?
Indeed, oh,
does,
it is.
Does that mean that the draft guide is going to be a few pages thinner because of your time associated with the new baby?
Well, oh, no, like I said, I have a new scouting assistant.
It's going to be more.
Extra pages.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's nothing like daddy's girl. Sincerely, our congratulations to you and your wife and the family. That's exciting stuff.
Appreciate that, guys.
You got it. All right, I want to talk to you now about one of the newest members of the Browns and a move that, you know, obviously a bummer with Joel Bitonio going on IR. He was replaced today by Dan Vitale out of Northwestern, a fullback, which – on the surface, okay, yeah, great, you want a fullback, but you've already got Malcolm Johnson here. What can you tell us about Vitale, who was a sixth-round pick of the Bucs out of Northwestern?
Yeah, Vitale, he was a four-year starter at Northwestern. He was kind of an ideal fit for what Northwestern calls the superback position. So he was a hybrid fullback, tight end, receiver. And he did a little bit of everything, both as a blocker and as a receiver. He was that perfect safety valve underneath as a receiver, reliable ball skills, not going to break off big plays, but he can do enough to move the chains. I don't see a guy with difference-making skills here. He's going to make a substantial impact on the offense, but I like the athleticism. I like the makeup. I like the toughness. He's a guy that can play some special teams. So, a guy like that is not a bad player to have on the roster.
Is there room for both he and Malcolm Johnson on this roster? Do you see them as having completely different skill sets? In the modern NFL, a lot of teams go without a fullback, and the Browns now have two on the roster.
Right, and I think it comes down to special teams and how they can contribute in that area, because on offense, I think they do bring somewhat of a similar skill set in what they offer. So I do think it could come down to special teams in terms of both of them staying on the roster throughout the season.
Dane, I want to dive into your draft breakdown. I'm sure we talked to him after the draft, after he was drafted by the Cleveland, but Ricardo Lewis, as Nathan referenced earlier, getting a lot of reps, opposite Terrell Pryor in certain situations, in addition to Andrew Hawkins. Do you see him developing as a number two, number three in the National Football League as the season goes on?
Yeah, well, hopefully we get to see more of Ricardo to find that out if he can. I gave him a lot of credit for what he did last season at Auburn, really stepping up as a senior. Duke Williams at Auburn was expected to be that top receiver. He was booted from the program. And then Ricardo Lewis really stepped up for a struggling Auburn offense. A terrific athlete. We saw that at the combine, a 4.43 40-yard dash for a guy that's 6'2", 215 pounds. I like the way he can accelerate in his routes, strong cuts out of his breaks. You just need to see more nuance in his patterns. Need to see more savvy in terms of route diversity and ability to get open against press coverage. So, I want to see him hold on to the ball as well. This was evident on his college film, and I think we've seen it some now in the NFL. He's just been unreliable holding on to the ball at the catch point and then with his fumble. So, right now, I don't see a lot that separates him as a player, but I do think he has football upside where if he can eliminate the mistakes, be more reliable catching the ball, and really develop as a route runner, we could see him settle into a role that actually matters in this offense.
Talking with Dane Brugler, NFL draft expert from CBSSports.com and NFLDraftScout.com, as we do every single Friday. And Dane, I wanted to ask you about the quarterbacks, obviously, in this class in a second. But first, let's go back to Cody Kessler, because I know there were a lot of concerns about arm limitations, et cetera. But through three games, and in particular the drive last week against the New England Patriots, I think he's been surprisingly good. Does it change your long-term prognosis for him at all? Is this a guy that maybe could develop into a full-time starter in the NFL, or do you still see some of the same things that you saw that you didn't like him coming out of college?
Yeah, you know, to Cody's credit, he is playing very well within Hugh's offense, and I think he is playing better than I think a lot of people expected.
Us included.
The big thing with, I think, Cody Kessler is I just don't see a lot of football upside. I think what we see right now is, you know, who he is. I think he might get a little bit better, but, you know, I think he has more of a skill set as a backup. You know, I wrote in my report on him that, you know, he might be able to stick as a backup, similar to maybe a Chase Daniel, a guy like that who is valuable, a guy you want in the quarterback room. But I'm not convinced that he's a quarterback that can potentially lead you to the playoffs as a starter. So, you know, really, when you look at the quarterback position, it boils down to two things: accuracy and decision making. If you can do those two things at a high level, then you can play in the NFL. And I think we're seeing that from Cody Kessler right now. You know, obviously, he doesn't have ideal size, ideal arm strength. He's an okay athlete, but he's not going to wow you with his mobility. But we've seen him make the correct decision, and we've seen him put the ball with the correct placement where only his guys can get it. And I think that's a big reason why, you know, this Cleveland offense has shown some life. Cleveland ranks top 10 in the league in third down conversion.
Yeah.
And I think a big reason for that is what we've seen from Cody, making the correct decision, the correct reads, and then putting the ball where, you know, giving Terrell Pryor a chance to go get it, giving his guy a chance to go get it, not making that fatal mistake. So I do think Cody Kessler deserves a lot of credit. At the same time, I haven't seen enough to make me rethink that he can be a long-term starter, but I don't want to take away from what Cody's done to this point.
Yeah, 12 of 14 so far, throwing the football on third downs of 7 yards or more, the top figure in the NFL for Cody Kessler there. Dane, the quarterbacks last week that are the top prospects, rough week, a lot of it weather-induced. As a scout, when you see the environment that Mitch Trubisky was playing in, and everybody here is excited because there's a bio that came out, you know, he's from this area, wants to play for the Cleveland Browns, and of course, DeShone Kizer, that a lot of people are enamored with, his big arm, the way that he plays from the pocket, but in torrential downpours, in just ridiculous conditions, neither of them had a good game. As a scout, does that matter that much to you?
You know, ideally, you'd like to see quarterbacks, you know, how they grip the ball, how the ball comes off their hands in those types of environments. Because, you know, let's be honest, football is played in the fall and the winter. So there's always going to be some type of element impacting at least a game, if not, you know, 2, 3, 4 games throughout the season, and especially for, you know, Cleveland and some of these other teams that play in, you know, the northern part of the country. But, you know, with DeShone Kizer in that game against NC State, I'm not sure we can learn much from that. It is literally a hurricane, and that's not something that, you know, you're going to see. Yeah, you're not going to see that week in, week out on Sundays in the NFL. It was a disappointing performance for Notre Dame as a whole, and you know, let's be honest, it was a hurricane, and yet Notre Dame's going 5 wide and shotgun and trying to throw the ball. I mean, so the final stat line looks pretty poor for Kizer, but I'm throwing that game tape out. And for Mitch, you know, he had such a hot September, leading college football in completion percentage. You know, didn't throw his first interception until this past weekend. You know, similar conditions. It wasn't as bad as Kizer. So, you know, I don't think we're taking a lot from it. And this is, you know, Mitch Trubisky, who has, you know, played in Northeast Ohio, he knows what it's like to play in the condition. But I'm eager to see how he rebounds this week against Miami, a Miami team that ranks top 12 in college football in pass defense. So Mitch Trubisky, a great start, struggled last week with the condition. Eager to see how he bounces back this Saturday.
Absolutely, and what else is going on this Saturday? It is the Buckeyes at Camp Randall against Wisconsin, 2 versus 8. And Dane, the question that I have is specifically about a couple of defensive backs for Ohio State who've really come on early in the season. That's one is obviously Malik Hooker. A lot of people are saying he's a first round pick as he sits right now. And then also opposite him, Marshon Lattimore. Where do you think these guys project as they move forward in potential NFL careers?
Yeah, Hooker has been an awesome surprise this year. You know, I think by now a lot of people know his background. Maybe a guy that focused more on basketball in high school, you know, coaxed to the football field and really has shined now as a redshirt sophomore after waiting his turn. You know, we've still seen some inexperience. We saw it last week against Indiana. You know, he bit on the underneath route and abandoned his man in the end zone, easy touchdown for the tight end for Indiana. But at the same time, we also saw last week against the Hoosiers, what makes him so special with that interception and the return, although that was brought back. And you look at Ohio State, they've allowed only 6 touchdowns this year in 5 games, an outstanding number. And they've all been against the pass. Ohio State's the only team that has yet to give up a rushing score this year. But Malik Hooker's been an important reason for that. Again, the first season hasn't been perfect, but it's the flashes that have scouts so excited. Maybe he can be a difference-making type of safety. He's got the athleticism, the reflexes, the natural instincts. He leads the FBS in interceptions with 4, and he also leads the FBS in return yardage off those interceptions with 117. So just a very exciting player who eager to see more on, see if he can build off this early start for him. And then with Lattimore, I think Garyon Conley, the corner opposite him, is probably further advanced right now at this point. But Lattimore has really come on with his makeup speed, with the way he reads routes and anticipates where the ball is going. So Lattimore, he really put himself in that conversation where it's not just about Garyon Conley. It's about Garyon Conley and Marshawn Lattimore, 2 talented corners for the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Dane, when you look at this draft right now, Myles Garrett, is he the unquestioned top player in your mind?
Yeah, and I'm not sure it's really close. Myles Garrett, he's a difference maker at pass rusher. Quarterback, obviously, most important position in the game of football. But pass rusher is a close number 2. It's a position where if you can disrupt the rhythm of the pocket, disrupt what the offense wants to do, then you're going to win on defense. And that's what Myles Garrett can do. And he's not just a speed rusher who's going to bend the edge and win with just speed alone. He knows how to win with leverage. He knows how to use his hands. He's really developed his hand use to throw different things at blockers to really give them trouble, snap in, snap out. And, I think we have to be encouraged by the way what we've seen the last few weeks from him. He hasn't been super productive, but he's also been hurt. But he's also playing through that injury. So while he's not 100%, he's still 75-80%. That's still a better pass rush than, most teams have. So to me, Myles Garrett, the top player in this draft, a legitimate top 3 pick.
Let me ask you this. You're Sashi Brown right now, and quarterback situation is what it is. You had the number 1 pick. Would you take Garrett or would you take one of the quarterbacks? And if so, who?
Based on what we've seen right now, I'm still going Deshaun Kizer. This is a guy who the traits are all there. We talked about physically with the size, the arm strength, the mobility, but also what we've seen from a mental standpoint. And again, redshirt sophomore, he's made some mistakes, but they're the type of mistakes that you expect for his age, for his inexperience. I think, and it's the hardest part of evaluating the quarterback position is, what's his ceiling? How much better will he be? And we're seeing that with, a guy like Dak Prescott for the Dallas Cowboys. Who saw this coming with Dak? A 4th round pick, and he looks like he's the future of the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo might be healthy this year, and Dak might hold on to that job because he has been that impressive. And so the quarterback position, it's tough to really, look at the traits and say, okay, well, this is where he's going to be in a few years. But with Kizer, there's just so much to be excited about, so much, positive things to work with. So for me right now, it's still very early, but where we stand right now, I'm leaning Kizer.
All right, Dane, appreciate the time. Get back to your little girl. And thanks so much for being with us here every Friday on CBD.
Awesome, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, Dane Brugler. Follow him on Twitter at DPBrugler. He is the NFL draft expert for CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, and NFLDraftScout.com. Still would go to Deshaun Kizer, number 1 overall in this draft if he were the Cleveland Browns. I know a lot of people like Myles Garrett, Jabril Peppers, Leonard Fournette, the running back out of LSU, or some of the guys at the top of the draft this year. I like Jamal Adams, the safety out of LSU, and I hope that the Browns can somehow finagle a quarterback and Jamal Adams. That would make me very happy.
We'll see. I mean, what happens is what if Deshaun Kizer doesn't come out? Is it automatically by default Deshaun Watson?
I don't think so. I don't know, but I don't think so.
Okay.
Let's just talk to our people down there. Let's talk to our people down in Notre Dame. Say, look, we had clipboard Jesus. You're with touchdown Jesus. There's some type of relation there. Let's get you into this draft and on to the Cleveland Browns. All right. 216-578-0850. Last opportunity. Or not last opportunity. We got the Friday forecast. We've got the game picks coming up, but you can call us up. Call your shot and give me one reason why you believe the Browns will get their first victory of the season this Sunday in Nashville.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. 2:30, we will have the kid in for the game picks. So let's bring in our producer, Matt Fontana, right now and do a little bit of the Friday forecast.
Number one.
All right, guys, number one for you. DeMarco Murray, Delanie Walker, or Marcus Mariota, which players should the Browns be most focused on stopping on Sunday?
DeMarco Murray. And the reason why is the number two rusher in the league, and the one thing that you can essentially almost guarantee or fully count on is that for the Tennessee Titans offense to be successful, DeMarco Murray has to touch the football 20-plus times in this football game. And I think Delanie Walker, you know, while he is, you know, a tight end, and he's a guy that hurt us, you know, he's a guy that might only get 3 to 7 touches in a football game.
I'm going to go DeMarco Murray because if you stop the run, you put the ball in the hands of Marcus Mariota. It takes away the play action as well with Delanie Walker, the tight end. So I think you want to stop the run. And lo and behold, what making his way into the studio right now is Browns linebacker Christian Kirksey. Kirko, what's up, man? How you doing? Here, come have a seat on over here real quick. Pop on down. It's been a long time since you and I have talked, Christian. Yes, that's yesterday.
And he was Browns Radiothon was like show. 2 times in 3 days. It was like all you can eat Christian Kirksey.
Well, not only is the guy racking up 17 tackles a game, the guy's a media star as well. And you ever thought about having a future in broadcasting after you're all done with the cleats?
I thought about it. I got some more practice to do. So.
And I have a lead question out of the gates. Okay. When I was a starter in the National Football League, my first year starting in the National Football League, we played Adrian Peterson against the Minnesota Vikings, and they were just pounding the rock with Adrian Peterson. I racked up 19 tackles.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know that you had a lot of tackles, but when you have a lot of tackles, you're getting hit more than you've ever been hit before. And again, you're in your first year as a starter. Were you the sorest you've probably ever been in a football
crazy,
game after
man.
All these tackles?
Because
I wasn't down for the count.
I wasn't that sore how I thought I was going to
be.
I was pretty fresh. Surprisingly, I was pretty fresh. But
I had to ask. Because anytime I see double-digit tackles, I'm like, dude's going to be hurting tomorrow.
Well, and I mean, you think about the guys you were tackling.
Right.
LeGarrette Blount is a big man.
Big man.
Right. Martellus Bennett is a big man. Yep. And Gronk is also a big man.
Yeah, so I definitely had my day worked out for me. But, you know, that's what our strength and conditioning coach is there for.
There you
get
go.
You right, get you balked up for it. So I think I came out the game pretty healthy.
All right, well, you got some big guys to tackle this week. DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry at the running back position, and then Delanie Walker, who's been their leading receiver at the tight end position. Mm-hmm. Let me just ask you about that New England game. You and I talked about this a little bit last night, but what do you take away from a matchup with guys that, you know, probably the greatest quarterback to ever play the game? Gronk's going to go down as one of the top tight ends to ever play the game. And Martellus Bennett, probably one of the most underappreciated productive tight ends in the game. What do you take away from going up against them and being as productive as you were? Now, they still made some plays, but that's because they're professionals too and some of the best ever. But what do you take away from going against them confidence-wise?
My confidence out the roof right now. You know, whenever you are a competitor, you know, you want to go against, you know, top guys, you know. And I thought it was a good challenge for us. And, you know, you never want to back down from a challenge. So I was all in. Even when they made those catches on me, you know, I still was ready for more, you know, just to being a competitor. And it definitely humbles you. And, you know, it makes you work even harder, you know, just to become a top linebacker. And just to go against a guy like Tom Brady, you know, he arguably is the best quarterback to play the game. And when you go against somebody like that, you want to bring your A game. So basically it just, you know, makes you keep your head down and keep chopping that wood and keep working. And that's just something I took away from that Patriots game. I had a chance to step back and look at my game, see some areas of improvement that I need to do, and to go against Gronk and Bennett, you know, it just helps me to see the areas I need to improve in. And that's something I did this week just to focus a little bit more on my technique-wise thing. So you can definitely take some positives away from this game.
Let me ask you this. So Pro Football Focus, they do grades, and right now they have you as the eighth best linebacker in the National Football League through the first five games of the season. Do you guys pay attention to stuff like that? Did you know that before I said
no,
that to you?
No, I really didn't.
Did your
know
agent
that.
Tell you, hey man?
My agent, he doesn't like to tell me things like that. All he wants me to do is focus on football,
sure.
And that's something that I'll do, especially in the season when it comes to like social media or things on the web. I kind of shy away from that just
okay.
because you kind of get distracted from it a little bit.
Right.
So during the season, I really don't. Really don't even pay attention to things
okay.
like that. I mean, it's something that's
good. Nice to hear.
It's
sure.
nice to hear, but I didn't know it until you said it. But I really don't
okay.
pay attention all to
right.
it like that.
Just wondering. Sure.
Just because it can be distracting. I'm pretty sure you.
I would have answered the question the same
yeah.
way.
I know.
It's like you're reading your own headlines.
Yeah.
And
make
I also,
your own headlines.
Correct.
Make,
and I also
make.
Feel like the second you think you got it figured out, you don't.
Right.
And that's the constant evolution of just getting better and getting better and getting better. So,
yeah.
My question for you is. Through 5 weeks, you were going on multiple quarterbacks via injury. You've lost Corey Coleman. You're going to lose Joel Bitonio again this week. How does a football team, go out there each and every week when you're really not whole? You've been without Carl Nassib. You've mm-hmm. been without Joe Hayden. You've been, without Ibrahim Campbell for a week. Offensively, I named a few of the guys. How do you guys stay motivated that it's just kind of like whoever is dressed in a football uniform on a Sunday is going to be a part of us going out and
yeah.
giving forth our best effort to try to
yeah.
get that first W?
The way I look at it, and I'm pretty sure a lot of other guys look at it the same way, we put this 53-man roster together for a reason. So I know if you made this Cleveland Browns team, you're capable of going out on the field and making plays. And not to say, we don't miss our starters and,
sure.
we need that, but at that time, you got to say, okay, this guy is not playing. Now all our focus go to the next man up.
And you have to develop trust in
yeah.
that guy very quickly.
Yeah, so we don't want to put it on another player to be like, okay, well, you're filling in for a guy, so we don't know if you can get the job done. No, you got to put all your trust into him. And, we in the same film room, we in the same meeting room, we practice the same. So the guys that's stepping up, they're doing a good job.
They are.
And for me, when I see, some empty spots or, our guys are down, it builds a challenge for me, DeMario, some other guys to, you got to make more plays.
Sure.
One of our brothers are down, so you got to step it up a notch. So that's kind of how I look at the whole situation when you have to deal with injuries and
Great.
Stuff.
Christian, with Joel Bitonio going on injured reserve, you are now the only person on the 53-man roster from that 2014 draft class.
Yes.
Just
–
basically a little over 2 years later.
Yeah.
Is that crazy to you?
It's crazy.
And Crow would be, because Crow and Kwan were the undrafted yeah. guys that year, and Crow's the only one left. So really you and Crow are the only guys
me
on the
Crow.
53 from that year.
I remember I was talking to Crow and Joel, and I was just telling them, I was like, man, we the last man standing in our draft class, and we just got to keep this thing going, Joel is a good player, and, I wish him the best with his whole process or whatever. And Crow is Crow. He's gonna do his thing, and I'm grateful to still be here. When you see a bunch of your brothers leave or things happen, but that's the nature of the game. That's
of course, the nature of the business.
Yeah.
When you're getting ready for this game on tape, obviously a productive tight end, Delanie Walker. They're mm-hmm. the number two rushing offense in the NFL. Anything stood out to you that you guys really need to focus on or emphasize in this game against the Titans?
Man, DeMarco Murray is playing at a high level. He's playing at a Pro Bowl level, and he's looking like the DeMarco Murray from Dallas when he's out in Dallas. And I believe actually he is their leading receiver. Surprisingly,
yeah, in terms of receptions,
yes, in terms of receptions, he's all over the field, and Delanie Walker as well. He's one of those guys that he's kind of like Bennett. Not too many people realize how good he really is.
Yeah,
and he's a feisty, tenacious guy.
Yeah.
I was with him in San Francisco, and he is more physical than you think for
yeah.
being kind of an undersized guy. He's just a tenacious football player.
Good
yeah,
blocker. Over 90 catches last
all.
Year. Yeah, set their franchise record.
Yeah, he does it all. And I believe he ran like a 4.49 or something like that.
He's swift in his
40,
day.
Yeah, so, you definitely can't sleep on a guy like that. And I actually played against him my rookie year, so I got a
sure.
chance to go against him a couple times. And, he's a good player. So, and then you got that quarterback, man.
That's what I was going to ask you about Mariota. What type of challenge does he give just being able to kind of beat you not only with his arm, which
yeah.
is getting better in his second season, but also with his legs?
It keep you honest and it keep you balance. You know, you can't just say like, okay, I'm gonna take this away, and you know, he can beat you with either or. You know,
right.
he has a good arm, and you know, he's fast. He's real fast. So we just got to make sure we're sound, and everybody gang tackle, go to the ball, pursue angles, things like that, and then I think we have a good chance.
When you blitz, your goal is to get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
But when you play a guy like Marcus Mariota, does it give you like a little bit of an extra pause because, you know, not only do I have to blitz, but you need to make sure that you're containing and keeping him in the pocket as well?
Yeah, you know, you can't – when you blitz, you got to know how to blitz. You know, you can't blitz all wild and, you know, get out-leveraged by the ball carrier, or, you know, you can't blitz and not set the edge, things like that. So you got to be technically sound when you go into attack the quarterback, because he can, you know, step up in the pocket, or he can roll out the pocket and, you know, create a longer play. So we just got to be technically sound and be sound in our fundamentals.
It seems to me you're blitzing a little bit more in this defense than in years past. Do you like that?
Yeah. I like it, man. I'm just trying to show what I got, you know. I can be in coverage, blitz, or, you know, be in the run. So I'm just trying to bring everything to my game and, you know, try to be out there and be the best player I can be for my teammates.
You talk about your game and wanting to get better, and that's amazing. And I think the one thing that I did when I was in that situation was I always wanted to study other players, you know. So is there anybody out there, you know, that's been successful in the league, you know, years after years that you study, or that you always, your eyes just gravitate to at the linebacker position, that you're going to go, when I get my opportunity, I want to play like this guy. I want to blitz like this guy. I want to stop the run like this guy.
I think we all can definitely say when I was coming in college, I got a chance to see Levante David play at Nebraska, and just, you know, seeing the things that he did, being an undersized linebacker coming into the league, and then seeing some things that he's doing now. And when I came to the league, I was very undersized, and you know, I looked at things of his game, and you know, kind of tried to put it to my game and see how it is. And then of course Luke Kuechly, he's just all over the field.
He is.
He's making plays. So those two guys, I can say that I really like to pay attention to and try to mimic my game.
There you go.
With the team using more four-man fronts as opposed to the traditional 3-4 that we saw kind of exclusively last year, you're lining up sometimes in that 4-3 will spot that Levante David played for the Buccaneers. So has that been something you've enjoyed as a part of this defense?
Yeah, man. The things about Ray defense, man, you know, he has you all over the place, you know, giving you the best chance to make plays. And, you know, you got guys doing different things and, you know, showing their different talents. So Ray's defense has definitely been real productive for me and for other guys out there.
Well, and you brought up Levante. You guys had joint practices with the Bucs this year, played against him. Did you talk to him at all?
No, when I was down there, I really wasn't too much, like, kind of talking to the other team.
Uh-huh.
First of all, you in camp, so when you're in camp mode, you just kind of
grinding.
You're grinding it out, you know. So
and it was hot down there.
Yeah, it was hot, man. But I kind of stayed to my teammates, or if I see like a couple people that I know, because I don't know him personally.
Okay.
So I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but
okay, I just wonder how that goes between players. Like, hey, man, you know, like you know, you're somebody that I, you know, try to emulate a little bit in the league.
I don't know how that goes. He's a good player, man. I remember when he was in Nebraska, and we played them in Nebraska. And, it was my sophomore year, and it was like a third down and maybe like seven, and in Nebraska they played the.
Yeah.
I just remember looking at him, and like he was getting the whole crowd like
dancing,
and then he made the play. So I'm just like, okay, I see what type of game this guy has, and that's just one of my memories I have when he was in college. So you know, he's definitely a good player though.
Christian, last time you went to Tennessee, you got the win, largest road comeback in NFL history. You've never lost the Titans in the National Football League, 2-0. Does that give you a little extra confidence and you know, tell the guys, look, we've been in here, we've won here, let's do it again and get that first win?
It definitely, you know, gives you confidence. But in all honesty, none of these guys was here when we played Tennessee. So
I was going to say, you know, very few.
No Travis Benjamin to bail you guys
pretty
out.
Pretty much hit. Well, and Tank Carter.
Correct.
Had the big punt block.
Yeah, big punt block.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, it's a different squad. And, you know, we got to have the same pep talk that we have every game. You know, it's a new challenge. We're on the road, and this will be big for the organization if we come out with a win. So we just got to keep the guys focused and just be ready to win.
All right, Christian, thank you so much for the time here on this Friday. And, of course, last night you were out there at the Hugh Jackson Show. A huge crowd came out to see you yesterday. He was taking pictures, kissing babies, signing autographs. It was a good time. Good luck on Sunday. Congrats on the great start to your season personally, and hope that keeps going, and we also get some team wins here for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Christian Kirksey, our guest here on CBD. When we come back, the kid's going to call in. We'll make our picks for Week 6 in the NFL.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, when you hear that music, you know it only means one thing. The kid! Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is the kid. What's up, the kid?
Oh, I always enjoy that song. Of course, I prefer to be in studio, but that song does give me a little jolt of energy every time I hear it.
A little adrenaline boost. The kid, let me ask you this. What's going on down there? Is everything okay?
Let's talk about football.
I got a quick question. Here, kid, I'll get your mind off of it. Okay. A lot of people said that Jim Harbaugh wanted to beat Rutgers worse than Ohio State beat Rutgers as a way to prove that they're further along as a program. Do you think the same can be said this weekend because the Buckeyes now play Wisconsin in Camp Randall?
I'll tell you the reason I think Harbaugh ran up the score on Rutgers.
Go ahead.
When he did one of his satellite camps in New Jersey, they did the Rutgers, supposedly the Rutgers team or somebody affiliated with Rutgers, put like golf tees all over the field that they were supposed to use. Actually, sort of a nifty little trick. That's what angered Harbaugh. And on top of it, Peppers and Gary are both from New Jersey. We're recruiting another high-ranking player in New Jersey. I think that had more to do with it than...
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, I mean, I don't think that... just from watching both teams, I think, obviously, they both look good, but I think there's still a much bigger question mark for us with our quarterback. We don't know what our quarterback is going to be in a close, in a tight game where you need. I mean, we had that game against Wisconsin, but
It was running the football and playing great defense.
Right, and I think Ohio State, obviously, JT Barrett is proven that he can win any way he needs to win.
Kid, your thoughts on the Tribe?
I'm not a huge baseball guy. I'm really rooting for the Tribe more for my friends that are huge
Todd
Tribe
Derry
fans. Todd Derry, really, the man really is not a huge Cavs fan, and I felt rooted for the Cavs out of friendship for me, so I'm sort of returning the favor.
You're paying it forward, as they say.
Yes.
All right, the kid. So here's let me set the scene for you. I was just going to set the scene for you.
Okay.
Let me set the scene for you. The scene is as follows. Three-way tie still. You and I needed Tampa Bay to beat Carolina in the Monday night game. Wilhelm had raced out to an early lead, and we all ended up tying last week. We still have a three-way tie going into this week.
I didn't know what happened 2 weeks ago. So 2 weeks ago, Wilhelm and I both gained on you.
You gained a one on me in week four. Wilhelm gained two, and then last week was a total push all the way around.
Wow.
Three-way tie. We've never seen something so competitive. I wonder right now if you're in Vegas, are there better odds that I get paid the dinner that I earned from winning the picks contest before the season ends?
I'm going to say that is going to happen. Yeah.
I believe it'll happen.
Okay. All right. Good. That's exciting. Good news for me and my belly. All right. Are you ready, Kia?
So who goes first by this? Because you're the defending champion?
Or we could just switch every game.
I'll go first.
You don't have to go first.
I don't care. Hopefully after this week we
I go first one game, you go first one game, the kid will go first one game, since we're even.
Whatever.
Let's go in order. Okay, sure. That's the order we'll go. Jacksonville at Chicago. The Bears, 1-point home favorite. I will take the Jacksonville Jaguars. The one weakness in the Chicago defense is their vertical pass defense, and that's where Allen Robinson excels.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville as well. I'm going to call for number 80 to have three touchdowns.
That's just because you want that to happen because your boy Jordan Reed's in the concussion protocol.
Listen, I drafted 80 for a reason. Next man up.
I'm going to go Chicago.
Okay, Matt Wilhelm.
Brian Hoyer, Jordan Howard.
Enough said. Philadelphia at Washington. The Redskins 2.5-point home dogs to an Eagles team that just lost on the road against the Detroit Lions. Matt Wilhelm.
I'll take the Eagles.
You know what? I'm going to go with the Redskins. I continue to not want Philly to be good, so maybe with my heart, but I'm taking the Redskins.
I'm going to take Philly because that way I win if the Eagles win, and if the Eagles lose, I win because it helps the Browns draft pick.
There you go.
Can't lose that way. Pittsburgh at Miami, the Dolphins, 7-point home
dogs. Steelers, come on.
Next.
All right. The kid got a good one there to go first on, a unanimouser. The L.A. Rams at the Detroit Lions. The Lions 3-point home favorites. I like the way this Lions team is playing. I think they're better than people realize, and I'm still not sold on this Rams thing. I'm going to take the Lions.
I'll take the Lions as well.
You know what? He's going to get to 50-50 one way or another, so I got to pick him to lose this one. I'm picking the Lions.
Okay, the Lions are unanimous. Are unanimous rankings, by the way, not very good?
Of course not.
Baltimore at the New York Giants. The Giants 3-point home favorites. Both of these teams stink, but the Ravens stink worse. Steve Smith is out. I'll take the Giants.
Where's the game?
In New York.
Giants.
Oh man, we're gonna probably be a three-way tie again after this week. Fine. It seems like. All right,
take it to Week 17.
San Francisco at the Buffalo Bills. Colin Kaepernick returns, makes his start. Bills 9-point favorites.
Niners stink.
Bill.
Shady McCoy's going off again.
All right. Cincinnati at New England. New England, a 9-point favorite in this game.
And the dollar bill is calling, not me, but the dollar bill is calling for the Bungles to win the game outright, just so you know.
The dollar bill?
Yes. The one and only.
Wiley?
Yep.
Really? Why does he say that? Is he a Bengals fan?
He is a Bengals fan. He has not sent me a pick. He sends one every about 4 years.
What's his record?
I don't remember. 4 years is a long time ago.
Well, you think if it's like once every 4 years thing like the Olympics, you'd remember because it's like significant in it given its rarity.
I would say he's probably 50-50. He's not terrible, but I don't think he's any.
So are you taking the Bengals on the strength of dollar bill?
No, I said his pick. I'm not taking his pick. I'm taking
Tom back. Tom back in Foxborough.
I just want to say that your need to include the fact about dollar bill taking the Bengals and then having it have no impact on anything whatsoever makes it an even
story.
More random inclusion.
And that's why it's a good story.
That's why it's a good story. All right, Carolina reeling at New Orleans. The Saints, 2.5-point home favorites.
I don't believe in New Orleans. I'm taking Carolina.
Who's going second?
I'm taking Carolina as well.
I'll take the Saints at home.
Okay. I do think the Saints are going to be able to throw on Carolina. I just don't think the Saints are going to be able to stop Carolina.
Carolina's going to stop themselves.
Here's a good game. It's currently a pick 'em. The Chiefs at the Oakland Raiders.
Leading the AFC West for the first time since 2001.
Yep. And I'm going to say the Raiders fold under that pressure, and I take the Chiefs.
Where's it at?
Oakland.
Oof. I'll take the Raiders.
You know, there's that stat about Andy Reid off the bye, yada, yada, yada. But I'm rooting for the silver and black myself, so I'm going to pick the silver and black.
I'm rooting for the Raiders, too. I love that Raiders team. They're fun to watch. You got Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, your boy Bill Crabtree, the kid.
Yeah. He's having a monster year, by the way.
Yes, he is. Dallas at Green Bay. Dak Prescott. 4-point road underdog. Aaron Rodgers not playing all that well, and the Packers 4-point home favorites.
Whose turn is it?
I'll go first. I'll take the Pack.
I'm going to go ahead and step out on a limb here and say the Dallas Cowboys.
How's
we
the Pack?
Do something where maybe you get like pick a. For next year, if you pick an underdog, you get double points or something.
No, because then you just pick underdogs every week.
Maybe 1.5 times then. It'd be a strategy. It'd be a way to catch up. Also.
The strategy is the reason it's basically worth 2 because if everybody else is taking the favorite and you're right on the underdog, you're basically getting a +1. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Be more exciting the other way.
Let's not let logic intrude on this, kid. That's why you're going out on a limb.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am. I had Atlanta over Denver last week.
You did? Wilhelm. What do you, I know that. What's the state of the Pack run defense in your opinion?
Average. Not great, not horrible. Probably middle of the pack.
No Dez Bryant. Not enough firepower. Go, Pack, go. Atlanta at Seattle. They just beat the Broncos on the road, showed the blueprint for beating them, which is to get your backs and tight ends isolated on their linebackers. Seattle, a little bit different of an animal, but they are running the ball. Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, fantasy owners pulling their hair out. Who do I play? Do I play them both? The kid. Atlanta at Seattle. I'm going to take the Seahawks coming off the bye. Russell Wilson healthy. Atlanta's been very good, but they don't have enough to do it 2 weeks in a row on the road going that far west.
Why not? I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons, and starting next week, I'm playing both those guys.
Seahawks.
Indiana at Houston. Somehow Brock Osweiler seems as a three-point favorite in this game.
Colts.
All right, I'll take the Texans just to be different. The Colts bet. How did the Colts lose that? Why are the Colts not favored in that game?
Because they stink.
I know, but
have you watched them play at all?
It's still shocking. All right, and finally, Jets at Arizona. Arizona 7.5-point home favorite.
Arizona, I'm gonna say they somehow start to turn it around. I believe in Bruce Arians.
I do too. All right, Browns at Titans. Titans 7-point favorites. The Cleveland Browns are winning this game.
Browns.
Why not? Let's make it unanimous.
And the Browns will win it. Yes, indeed. All right, kid, any final flaming hot takes for us today?
I think I'll save a doozy for next time.
Okay. You got nothing? I mean, you were just in Vegas for a week, and then you have nothing
for
us?
Well, when you're with something called the Grizz, your memory can be foggy for a week or two.
Okay. We hope that you come out of that fog next week. Nothing with the window, nothing. Okay.
No, I got some stories, but I feel like they'll marinate better over the course of the show rather than, throwing them out there.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully we can get you in studio. By the way, you're in big trouble on your proposed number.
The over-under has been readjusted 4 times in Vegas, and people are pounding the under at this point.
Yes, they are. All right, folks, go Browns this Sunday. Matt Wilhelm, Ken Carmel, kick off your coverage 9 a.m. all along the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. I will be roused from my slumber to come in with the Inside the Number segment at around 9:24. We'll see if I have that 24-hour. It's in Nashville. I might have that 24-hour South Beach flu again in my voice on the Sunday morning there. Want to thank everybody for being with us. Thank Dane Brugler, Christian Kirksey for stopping by, for Matt Fontana, for the kid, for Matt Wilhelm. I'm Nathan Zgura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.